We ask that all my words this morning and all the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Last week we talked about miracles and how we can participate in miracles. This week I want to talk about the problem with miracles. Now there are many miracles that we have seen in our lifetime. In the 50s, there was the scourge of polio, where parents were scared to death because their kids could contract polio, and then the miracle of that wonderful vaccine. And now we don't think about what a miracle that was, and that routinely our children are vaccinated against polio, and we don't have polio in this country for people who have been vaccinated. There was a time when measles used to take the lives of children, but now we have a vaccine for that. And it's so routine that we don't think about that anymore. When we think of all the miracles that we have seen in our lifetime, but after a while, they become so routine that we don't think about them as miracles. And then there was the miracle last week. Now, everybody loved that miracle because they were fed. Jesus fed 5,000 people with a small lunch. In fact, they were so impressed that they wanted to take Jesus by force and make him king. That would have worked out really well. So now the people are coming to look for Jesus. And the problem with the miracle was that rather than see this as a sign from God, what they saw was a meal ticket. And Jesus recognized that. So here they come looking for Jesus, and they find him, and he said, "You're not looking for me because you saw something of a miracle. You're looking for me because you want a repeat." And that's the problem with miracles. There are some churches that claim that miracles should be the norm. And so people look for things that are even more spectacular each time. And then when it doesn't happen, and when our prayers are not answered, and when we don't see the miracle, then what? Then we become embittered and say, "What have you done for me lately? Oh, that was then, but what about now?" Miracles are wonderful things, but they're for a certain time. And then when that time passes, then what? So these people were wanting another miracle. And Jesus began to dialogue with them about this. And he talked about the bread that was everlasting. And they wanted this bread. And they asked what they had to do to get this eternal bread, this bread where they would never be hungry again. And that's when things got cold really quickly. Now, if he had said, "Here are the things you need to do. If you do these things, I guarantee you God will like you forever. You'll be in God's favor." I think they would have all gone home and put those principles into practice. But that's not what he said. He said, if you want the bread that is lasting forever, if you want complete satisfaction in life, then you need to believe in me. And that's when they said, "I don't think so." Do you remember what they asked after that? "Well, what miracle are you going to produce? What sign? Because, you know, Moses produced manna, so you need to do that too." They didn't regard that it kind of was a miracle that 5,000 people were fed with one lunch. They didn't see that. They said, "What are you going to do now to prove to me that I should follow you?" You see, we love it when God does good stuff for us, but we don't like it so much when he lays claim on us. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was laying claim on them. And he said, "I am the bread of life. I'm the one who will give you soul satisfaction. I'm the one who you need to follow." And that's a claim, and we don't like those kinds of claim. I was reading one young man's biography, and he said he was given a choice. He was in a church that preached about hellfire. And if he didn't give his life to Jesus, he was going to go to hell. And if he did, he was going to enjoy heaven. He said, well, I chose Jesus for what he could do for me. But I really didn't know much about Jesus. Jesus lays claim on our lives. Miracles are wonderful things. But without the miracle worker, without the God of the universe and his transcendent power in our lives, life can be pretty gray when there's not a miracle to be had. I think of young Bo Johnson, who we've all been praying for. I don't know the boy, I've never met the boy, but I pray for him almost daily. This is a child who was struck by leukemia. This is an everyday kid who loved to play sports, and all of a sudden he finds himself in the hospital undergoing these horrible treatments to save his life. And after he underwent these treatments and everything seemed to be going well and he was starting to get on the road of recovery, they found out that he had the type of leukemia that is not only incurable, they had no protocols in which to treat. And he was given two choices. One was to go home with hospice, a teenage boy, and the other was to fight, where they'd basically throw the kitchen sink and the treatments might kill him. And he's been given a 20% chance of recovery. Those aren't good odds. And so we have been praying for a miracle. And I don't think it's wrong to pray for a miracle when our children's lives are at stake. And so we've been praying quite a bit for Bo. And his mother writes a blog. And I'd like to read part of this blog. She talks about her son. And she says, he's trying to stay positive. He's sensitive to others. He shows compassion to all the other patients he meets, and he wants to learn more about the diseases. All he wants to do in the future now is to be able to help others. She said, life in our world here is an in-your-face dose of reality. Yes, it does, and it can happen to you. I get it. We are in it constantly. It can wear you down. But it makes you want to fight even harder too. So be kind to all, be grateful for your health and happiness. It's what everyone who is sick strives to get back to. Jesus lays claim on our lives. He lays claim to us even when the miracles don't seem to be apparent. He gives us every grace that we need to go through the struggles and the heartaches of life. And he changes us from the inside out. One of my favorite hymns is St. Patrick's hymn. And I love this verse, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me, Christ before me, Christ beside me, Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ in quiet, Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. God has laid claim on you and I. We love the miracles, but let us love more the worker of miracles, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the bread of life. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that as we once again, by faith, take the bread from heaven, we ask that we would truly allow ourselves to be thank you, that when all is dark and when no miracles are to be had, we rest on your unchanging grace and faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.